Hey everyone, welcome back to the EJ. Today is kind of what I'm gonna call WTF part three, even though officially that's not what it's called. We are going to draw some questions from our listeners that we received over the last week or so, answering some specific questions they have in regards to their business and overcoming different obstacles and tough things through this whole COVID pandemic that we're dealing with in the world. So we're going to jump right in and give them some great answers, and we will update our answers if we find out more information in regards to the questions, but otherwise we'll get started.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneurial Juggernaut, the EJ. And so I got Dr. B and Chelsea with me as usual.
Hello.
And we're finally going to get to some questions here. A lot of these are new questions. So, you know, they're in the last couple of weeks. We try to get to these shows every once in a while, but it's been a little crazy lately for obvious reasons. But today, let's draw a couple out of the bag, Chelsea, if you will. And let's try to answer some questions from the listeners and see if we can't stimulate some thought and conversation on these. So,
all right. So, let's see. So the first one would be three things that a business owner should be doing right now. And I know we covered some of this in the last episode, so if you haven't listened, but I think we should give all the listeners three really bulletproof things that they should be doing, take away from this and go get to work. Right now as a business owner, what should people be doing?
Well, I mean, geez, like, so this is a weekend seminar, but we'll try to get it. So we've been talking about three words, I think. So, I mean, if we narrowed it down to three, I would say stabilize, strategize, optimize. Those three things. Now, there's a million things that go under each one of those. Let's each take one of those, right, and talk about that a little bit. So I'll start. So stabilize. Right now, there's a variety of different people listen to this. So some are doing okay. They're annoyed by it. It's a nuisance, but you know what? Their doors are open. They're kicking butt. They're down a little bit. Others are devastated that the government has deemed them as someone that can't open their doors. They can't make any revenue. You know, they're trying, they're hustling, they're doing what they can, but they're starting to realize that you're a victim of the government you elected in, essentially. If you can't open, you can't open. You can't hustle your way to revenue when there's no clients coming in. So, you know, when I say stabilize, here's what I would mean by that. No matter what category you fall into, if you're open or not, there is these loans, right? And I think with the next question's loans, so I won't go into heavy detail, but maybe next question we will. The Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, the EIDL or SBA disaster loan, you got to do what you can do to get those. I know they're running out of money. They replenish money. The application's lost. It's a new application. Like all that we get, everyone's going through that. However, I will say within this company, even as of this week, we started to see a tremendous amount of these loans come through. And so get those loans, apply from those loans, sit on the phone for 5 hours if you need to, hound people, do what you need to do to be a voice that actually gets that revenue pulled out. Because in some cases, it is almost revenue. It's a grant. In some cases, it's a super low interest loan that you want to take anyway. So right now, get every penny that you can. Apply for every loan that you can. You can always give it back. But right now, as an entrepreneur, I'm telling people, get that money in the door so you can stabilize your business. And then you can start to move on to growth and hiring people back and taking the steps that you need to get going. You know, I think stabilize is have the hard conversations. It's one with your employees. If you have to lay off your employees, another 5 million or so were laid off last week, six before that, five before that. We're roughly at 23 million unemployed right now. The reason is because owners can't afford to pay. You're not by yourself if you can't afford to do that. So you need to make sure you have that conversation, let them know you can't wait to bring them back just as soon as you receive those PPP funds or you're able to open your doors. Now, if you're blessed in a business, you don't need to do this, then great. Then don't lay them off. Keep them working. Hire people if you can. Do your part. It's a great time to grow. We've talked about that in previous episodes. So
I'm going to stop you quick. You just said something that's have the hard conversations. And this is something I've struggled with in the past, that I hate conflict. I don't like to have difficult discussions with employees, landlords, whoever. But I had a couple just the other day, talking with some employees at our place, where I was just real honest with them about, you know, here's where we're at. The volume is down. The country's shut down. In respect to you, I want to give you some options on what we're going to do. And we fully plan to bring you back when all this stuff turns on. Mm-hmm. But as shitty as that conversation is, and it's not fun to have, and they maybe not even be happy with me or upset with me, it just feels so much better after it's done and it gets it off your chest. There's clarity amongst my team, my employees, and it just feels so much better. But the thought of it, making the call, having the Zoom meeting, whatever, it sucks.
Yep.
But the result afterwards is just like, okay, gosh, there's just this weight lifted off of you.
Well,
I also think that employees probably feel the same way. Like, they're stressed waiting for that call to happen because they know it's coming. Right. And so just let them know what the thoughts are, or at least just be as transparent with them as you can. Even if you don't have to let them go, let them know, like, right now we're okay, but next week I'll update you again. Like, you know, because it's all kind of just a game right now that we're all waiting for it to end, unfortunately. But, you know, just being transparent, I think, as an employer helps a lot.
Yeah. So two good points there. So the first one is, you're not going to help people by hanging them on for a couple weeks or even a month if it just wrecks your business. They would rather take probably 2 weeks to a month off, claim unemployment, knowing they're going to come back to a healthy business. So don't protect it and end up hurting these employees that love to work. Some of these people have been there for 30, 40 years, some for a couple of years, and absolutely love it. Do what you need to do to protect your business. They will understand, and then bring them back. But communication is key on so many levels. Now, to your point, Chelsea, if people are scared to death and they're just waiting for the phone call to come or the meeting to come, if you know you don't need to do that, and we have several of our businesses that we don't need to do that. I also sat those people down, which this is not a difficult conversation, but it's to say, listen, right now we're fine. Like, I see no reason that we're going to be laying people off. And so you are good to go. That being said, let's work together as a team on how to navigate this. But then they get that off their, you know, they don't wake up every morning freaking out and worried and things like that. So yeah, you need to handle the employees. They need to apply for unemployment if they need to. Yeah, that's a shit show too. It's long lines and kicked off the webpage and all that stuff.
I talked about that with someone the other day.
Right.
And maybe you guys can tell me if it was the same thing, but growing up for me, when I heard that someone filed for unemployment, it was like this big negative thing. And mm-hmm. It was like a loser, dirtbag, couldn't mm-hmm. get a job, lazy. Mm-hmm. That's not at all what unemployment means in today's world. Like, half the damn country is filing for it right
yep.
now just because of the scenario we're in.
So yep.
I had a conversation with one of the employees, and they were like, didn't even know how to do that. They felt really bad about that because they felt like, man, am I being a dread on mm-hmm. society because I'm filing? I'm like, no, this is just where we're at right now.
Yep.
I would file for that and go do that because you've been put in that position. It's okay. We don't expect you to be on that long, but if that's what needs to happen right now, it's okay.
Well, they've modified some of those benefits as well. So, I mean, you're making more money than you were before. You're able to pretty much replenish your income. In some cases, with one employee that we had, even it was what she wanted. It allowed her to stay home with her kids, teach her kids because they don't have school,
right.
and still make an income. She made the exact same amount, and she was able to stay at home and do that. So it was helpful to the business. It was helpful to her and helpful to her family. So some cases, it's a win-win. So you just need to have those conversations. But so many people are scared to have these. And by the way, conversations, call anybody, call your landlord. You know, and don't say I can't pay you. I think that was, you know, a bullshit thing that's out there of like, hey, I can't pay. It's more of, are you offering any possible scenarios where we can work around this? Now, realize they also are small business owners in many cases and may say, no, I can't. And then you need to figure out how to pay your obligation. And that's what loans and stuff are for and things like that. You know, student loans. I know they've done things on student loans. Make sure that you're taking advantage of that. If you had a previous SBA loan, they're doing incredible things on that. So you could look over your monthly expenses and probably find a few things at least that they're willing to take a break on or work with you on or pay interest only on, or who knows what's going to happen. But you got to make a smart choice, and that's having all those conversations as well. See who can afford to help you, see who can afford not to, and then do everything you can to make sure you get those people you know, the money that, that they have coming to them.
I was able to defer my golf debt payments to Dr. Jason for several months.
I held off a bit. I did.
It's just nice of him to do that.
Well, it's the least I can do. It's the least I can do. So I want to do my part to stimulate the economy.
You just have to carry his clubs when you guys walk now to pay in.
I would pay for that too. So I mean, I guess stabilize. So before you start worrying about, hey, I'm going to, you know, and optimize is more fun. We'll get to it. That's where you want to grow. That's where you're taking over your market. That's where you're leaping out of this and all that stuff that entrepreneurs are thinking of. But first you got to be like, okay, I'm going to keep my doors open. So see what money you can get every penny you can. If you qualified for that free $1,200 per person and $500 for kids, make sure it's in your account. If you get PPP, do it for every entity that you have. If you get EIDL, do it for every entity that you have. Get the notes, get the loans, get them in your account, and that's going to allow you some flexibility and some stability. If you do get it, then make sure you hire the people back, right? And pay those employees so they can get back into the economy, and then you can utilize the manpower that you have to start to build your economy, which gets to the next couple steps. So let's talk a bit about strategize. So what's that look like, either one of you, when you're strategizing through this period?
I think just looking at everything as it is and then also making a game plan. I know that's kind of part of optimize, but making a game plan for moving forward past, you know, the hard times and figuring out how you and the team are going to be able to get through it all and come out even better than before, which is a lot of the planning and the back end stuff that maybe isn't providing a lot of revenue now, but the social media posting we've talked about, keeping those customers engaged or those clients or patients engaged, even if you can't actually see them one-on-one, things along those lines, I think. Dr. Brandon?
I've talked to some docs about, in the past, they've been like, I don't have time to do that. Yeah, that sounds cool. Like, we'd like to implement that sometime, but we'll have to figure out when. I'm like, well, guess what? You got a ton of time right now. So these are things like changing software programs, or that seems like a big thing in the middle of a busy day, but upgrading to that new software program that you wanted to do, now's the time to transfer the data, get it done. We've got a few offices migrating to new payment processing methods where they're like, yeah, I'll get to that someday. But again, it's all right there to do and easy to take care of while you have this time on your hands. So implementing some of the things that maybe got put down in your journal or written down as we got to get to those, just to make your systems, when they flip back on, flow that more efficient.
Yeah, you know, I agree with everything you guys are saying. I think it's a great time to just, I mean, for me, and I know this is maybe isn't everybody, but I do well just processing. So when I'm going through something, like, the worst thing I can do is just fly off the handle first. Like, I need to sit down, usually by myself for a while, and think through things. And then Vanessa and I always get together after we both had our chance to think through things. And then we, as a team, kind of talk through things. Debate often, or go back and forth, or agree sometimes. And, like, you know, you start to put everything in perspective of what really is important here, what we can really do here, how good things are, how bad things are, or usually somewhere right in the middle. So spend some time just thinking, just like think through things, write things down, restructure how you're doing things, and just take a look at things kind of from the outside. You never have time to do that. The other is, you and your team should be really spending this time to show clients how important they are to you. So I've said before on the previous calls, but you need to be calling every patient, every client that's ever been through your door, see how they are, see how they're doing. Are they still living in town? Are they still, you know, if you own a women's jean store, are they still buying jeans? What are they wearing right now? What could you do for them? Questions you can ask. Hey, did they see this new brand that just came out? Like, just connect. Because when you connect with people, don't connect because they're going to pay you money right away. Connect because they're going to become clients again, or maintain being a client forever. So you don't ever have the time to do that either. And there's so many times you're like, oh, I just wish I had a week to catch up. You have that week to catch up right now. Some of you have that 5 weeks to catch up right now. So utilize that. So when you're all said and done, man, you're feeling good. This is going to pass. Like, you can probably sense we've already gone through the phases of shock and frustration. And we're still a little pissed off here at the EJ and at 100%. And we have some things brewing that we're working on. But that being said, we're also optimistic. And we're moving on to the next step. And you can start to sense a lot of the general public is as well. and the numbers don't add up. They're starting to see that. They're frustrated. Their rights are being taken away. Then they start to hear people say, wow, 12 to 18 months before we can ever. And you're like, no, I'm not doing that, right? I'm not going to partake in that. And so we need to have our voice be heard. It's up to us, not essentially one or two people that were elected in our state, to decide the economic future of the entire state. It's not up to them. So strategize a little bit. Be smart. Think through things. Plan. Get a brain trust together. Call people that are in a like position, whether in your company or other companies. Get together a group. See what they're doing. Swap ideas. Reach out to people. Just, you know, connect with people. Connect with people.
I think another point real quick before we move on from that is something we've talked a lot about is like, look who your circle is, because if you're doing, you know, asking questions and having discussions with people who are being super negative and kind of not optimistic about what's going on right now, they can bring you down even more. So just make sure you're, you know, staying around people and conversations with people that are, you know, like-minded and ready to get through this.
Yeah, there's plenty of things right now to find that are frustrating. So if you're looking for that and you want to draw more of that in your life, then you're going to have an easy time doing it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the PPP and EIDL application process is frustrating. And some people are struggling with it, but some people already have the money in their account, right? So it's there. You just got to get through it. And, you know, you just got to figure it out. So absolutely stay positive. All right, Brian, how do we optimize during this time? We've talked about that a bit, but what are some things that we need to review or some new ideas on optimizing the business model?
I think just kind of thinking outside your box of what you were doing before, now some new strategies. I think social media is going to be huge when we get going again on this to really up that, attacking that from an angle that you didn't before. I think there's going to be this. I got to watch my kids on Monday. They started online school again. I think it was Tuesday, I guess. And it's the first time in 4 weeks that they'd seen their classmates, they'd seen their teacher. And when we logged on and we flipped on the Zoom camera and got it all, it's a mess because there's like 22 first graders on a Zoom camera and everyone's talking. But they were so damn excited and pumped up about being able to see each other on there. And I think it was just a cool thing for the teacher and her emotions. That's about ready to happen for the whole country. So I think you got to be ready when the switch does get flipped back on and we start to go back to work. How are you going to be reaching out to not only the patients, clients that you had before, but new ones that are ready to get back out and get into the economy again? So I would say some social media stuff is going to be huge. I know we hammer social media, but now more so than ever.
Yeah. And I'll think on the opposite side of that even, and I agree with all of that, start to look at, you know, social media now can pretty much controls what you say. Mm-hmm. And so now you have to start thinking through things of what are some other ways besides just social media that I can build, you know, whether it's a different product, whether it's a different way of going at it. These are the kind of questions you should be asking yourself right now. How stable were you coming into this? Do you feel like you need to have an account with more money in it in case shit hits the fan, right? If that's a goal, then, you know, in the next 12 months, let's worry about getting that built up. Let's look at it from, you know, from take yourself way out of it, e-myth style, like instead of working in your business, let's work on your business for a minute. Take a look at things from above down and see what didn't work, what's not going well, not only with your business, other people you've seen that are going to go out of business during this entire time, and see what else you could have done. One thing I think that you'll start to realize is you want to not have, to use an old cliche, all your eggs in one basket. And so if every bit of your livelihood depends on one source of income, that can be problematic if one thing goes wrong. But when you start to diversify a bit and start to do other things, investments, multiple businesses, you know, we have a lot of people right now reaching out to us, and honestly, rightfully so, with the numbers that we're seeing, opening franchises. And so they may have a good job. They may be knocking out $180,000 a year salary, right? Or they're doing okay in the market and all that stuff isn't bad, but they're like, but I want other things that are going to keep going. I want other options to make some revenue. So I think one good thing you can do is say, how do I not have everything be from one source of income? And I think that you're going to benefit from that tremendously if you do that. That's a way to optimize your personal finances, not necessarily just optimize your one business. But yeah, I mean, ask yourself some damn questions. Take a look at it. Stop just being a victim of circumstance, because we know from, you know, 2 months ago, this thing didn't exist basically. And so like, it was like a different world. And so right now you need to know that you've learned a lot during this time. Things will get back to normal. but you've got to learn lessons from it so you're ready for it next time. So strategize, optimize.
I think a way to look at maybe what's working too is not even just looking at your business, but just look at businesses that are just crushing it right now and see what they have or what they did or had done that you didn't do, and try to take some points away from that, however it, you know, can apply to your business. One question that
what
we kind
of saying is how do you sell liquor in your business, no matter what it is what you got. So
yeah, I know, right?
It's essential.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree that, you know, it is kind of essential with all these parents homeschooling, but anyways, one question that was kind of, from one of our listeners in Colorado who is shut down, more than a lot of parts of the country, that was kind of in the middle of those, stabilize, strategize, and optimize, is what can they do now when they're, you know, what are some really great things they can do now while they're closed? They can't open. They're trying to stay motivated. They're trying to do everything they can on social media. What other things should they be doing right now if they've already, you know, cleaned out all their storage closets and tried to prepare as much as they can to reopen? Like, they're ready to go tomorrow.
Well, I feel for these people, right? Because a third of our company is in Colorado. So we know this. This is something that's real. And we have some people that are super positive that were absolutely crushing it. I mean, making a tremendous income, building an incredible business rapidly. And then all of a sudden it was just taken, their knees were taken out from underneath them. So you're right. I mean, they would fall big time under stabilize because they're a victim of what's going on. They just can't open. They can't find a way to get a hold of, you know, patients to get back in and things. So, you know, same thing as before, get that money in as much as you can, work your ass off to do so, call all your clients, let them know how much you value them and how excited you are. Start to plan that reopening and get going on that. Do anything you need to do right now to feed your family and keep the doors open. Have all the phone calls with staff, you know, landlords, et cetera, to make sure that you are doing everything you can to save every penny that you can right now and get through it. And, you know, I think that another thing right now for people in Colorado, like, our group is pissed that they're going up to the Capitol. They're marching. They're ready to, you know, I've heard the chant lately, May 1, we're done, is like, we're opening back up, you know, and we need this. But because you have these people who, by the way, if you listen to these people that are telling you we need to wait longer, check who's making a guaranteed paycheck. I've yet to hear someone whose business is crumbling saying we just got to hold on longer and, hey, another 6 to 12 months and we'll be good to go. Like, that's nonsense. That's for people right now that have a guaranteed check. Right. So it's easy for the governor to say another 6 months or so before we get back to normal. Bullshit. Right. So you've got to make sure you hold these people accountable. You and six people complaining within a group about somebody's not going to do that. You and 10,000 of your friends up at the Capitol turning into you and 50,000 of your friends up at the Capitol starts to make a movement for change. And that's what you need to be doing, is getting with those groups. Not causing trouble necessarily, but just getting your voice heard as to what's going on, because the people that are making decisions for you aren't in your boat. They don't understand how it is to watch your business fall apart after you've built it. They have a paycheck, right? And then they show you someone, well, look at these people. They're out of work too. Look at Hollywood celebrities. Look at the NBA players. They're bored to tears. They're making $20 million a year to hang out in their backyard. Like, they don't know the stress that you're going through. No one is telling you to keep your door shut and keep your mouth shut and be safe, whose livelihood depends on getting open in the economy again. So get those groups together. And I told chiropractors, get restaurateurs. You need dentists. You need physical therapists. You need haircut people. All those industries, realtors, all those people are watching their industries crumble because they don't have a guaranteed paycheck, and they'll be there to fight that fight with you.
Jay, to piggyback off of that, we've also talked to a lot of our docs about, you got to pay attention to who's on your licensing boards, who you're voting for, and I'm not going to go into political paths on this podcast today, but you got to pay attention to that stuff more so than ever. I just pray that people don't forget the feelings that they're having right now as it gets time to having elections and nominations and different things for anybody that's going to be controlling anything you might be doing in your world as far as your economy goes. And it's just amazing to see what people just let slide by before. Now they're like, shit, the people we have there aren't really representing my views.
Yep.
I wish I would have thought differently.
I would consider myself extremely political. I mean, I think I'd like to watch it. I'd like to know what's going on. I've even been shocked by how much power the governors have when you start to realize that sometimes it comes down to a guy or a girl with the few they've surrounded themselves with, which are going to have the same opinion they do, which is why they hired them. They decide what you do. They decide who's essential. You know, so you have, you know, the lady in Michigan, I can't think of her name right now. You know, she's deciding even what part of a Home Depot is essential. So she's roping off the paint section is not essential. She was mad that people were painting their house during this time. She ropes off the patio furniture. You can't go into this section. This aisle is essential. Well, who the hell are you to decide that for people, right? So, I mean, it's crazy the power that these people are taking. The governor in Colorado is the same way. You know, every other there's states in the nation doing a better job, even by the COVID numbers that they're doing. And that's not my favorite thing to pay attention to, but that's what people listen to. That's what they listen to. So look at other states that are doing the same regulations and whatnot. But for instance, they have chiropractors open, right? Texas is doing great. Chiropractors are open. They're able to pay some of their bills. Why then does Colorado come in and say chiropractors need to close, right? When other states are doing a great job, seeing the same turn of the curve, flattening the curve, all that type stuff, and chiropractors are open. Like, why do that? Why tell someone it's fine for you to go buy liquor and have a one-on-one transaction with that person in the store, but a person can't cut hair when it's also one-on-one? Why is it not essential for someone to get out and get sunshine and have health with their family? You have prisoners being released from jail, and you have fathers hanging out in the park with their little girls playing t-ball being arrested. It's like a sci-fi novel. Like, it's crazy. So these are the kind of questions you need to be asking these people that you voted in. Why is this essential and this is not? Who made that decision? What stats did you base that on? What science is telling you to do that? And they don't have answers in most cases. And so they need to be woken up as to what's going on. I tell you the one thing, though, that I wish that, and you know, there's a lot of good things I think our government's doing during this, and by government, I mean president. But one thing that frustrates me is when they gather the panel, right, the entrepreneurial panel of getting the business back open again, they need a couple small business people. Because you have like the, you know, the CEO of a bank and the Secretary of Treasury and all these brilliant minds. Like, if I want to write a book on how to, you know, stimulate the economy, they're essential people. They're way over my head. But what they don't even know is the small business person that can't draw a PPP check because they don't pay themselves on payroll, which is everybody, right? There's little things they don't think of as they go through this that I wish they had a chiropractor, a restaurateur, a dentist, you know, somebody that runs a hair salon and a clothing store person also on this, because their voice matters and they represent hundreds of thousands of people that are being lost in the cracks of this stuff because they don't fall into the typical, this is what needs to happen. And that's the one biggest mistake I think they've made that I wish they would do, is get the small business a little more represented.
Hey, Jay, I was looking through some of the questions that we had been sent, and we kind of went over this, but I want to bring it back in because it ties into what you just said. So I had a question from a gal by the name of Angela.
Okay.
And she looks like she's in something with the hair industry. So, and you were just saying that. And she's wanting to know, gosh, do I even qualify for some of this stuff? Because she's considered I don't know if she's the owner of the salon or runs it or whatever, like a sole proprietor. She's like, I don't even know if I can qualify for that stuff. So we were talking earlier, hey, apply for these loans, set up for these loans. And she's saying, I don't even know if I qualify. So what can we tell her? I know Vanessa is like becoming an expert.
Yeah.
On the PPP loans and the EIDL loans.
That's what I was going to say. I wish Dr. Vanessa was sitting next to me right now, because she can answer so many more of these. But she'd also be the first to tell you, like, she doesn't know as much as the banker or the lender. So, I mean, the answer that really is, and I'll go over a couple of details, but get your ass in front of the right person. Like, Vanessa had to go through Twitter. Phone calls weren't working, but through Twitter, she got calls back immediately by using that and going through Cabbage, and then she would get calls back instantaneously. So there's just different things you have to figure out. She didn't just say, well, I called, I left a message last week, because then a million people jump in front of you. So instead of saying that, figure out what other people are doing. And then for her, it was Twitter. For her, it was calling different banks. It was, you know, calling anybody and everybody that she knew that could answer her questions. You know, so you, based upon your industry, you need to figure that out. You need to call those people to get the true answers. You know, I know, for instance, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are worried about, and say someone that cuts hair. And I don't know if Angela, she could own the biggest salon business in the country, or she could be a single lady that cuts hair. But there's different ways that you could pay yourself. And so if you claimed a 1040C on your tax return, meaning you're an LLC essentially with no employees, then you can pay yourself through PPP. But it's a way that you had to file it, and you need to talk to your accountant and see if you did it that way. If not, you need to look at different options of how you do that. Back to the last point, lessons learned. If you need to pay yourself for a different way in case this shit hits a fan again, then know that. Right. But there's different grants, there's different things you can do, there's different loans that you can go through. But I'm telling you, if you just read the 2-page document release from the government or the SBA, then you're gonna freak out. We see it every day. They say, well, funds are gone. And then you see 50 people like, funds are gone, I knew it, they screw us. Like, yeah. And then you have other people that have either already gotten the money or other people that are like, well, I get it, but I mean, I know they're gonna replenish that because that's what they're gonna have to do. Like, you being negative does nothing. So look at details like this 1040C I'm talking about. Look at details on like what you can claim based upon how your entity is set up, LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp, partnership, sole proprietor, whatever you did, they all have different ways and different regulations and different hoops that you need to jump through. If you get someone on the phone, Vanessa's actually found that a lot of them are super helpful, you know, and can be of assistance. They're overwhelmed right now too, you know, but I mean, they want to get you the money. They do. That's what they're there for. So it's not like they're trying to keep the money a little bit, even though sometimes it seems that way. Just know that people are getting money, and not like, I would consider Vanessa brilliant on this. And yes, she's gotten some of her money, some of our money. There's other people that maybe don't have the time to do it all the time, that don't understand finances at a CFO type level, that have also gotten checks. They've also had it deposited into their account. So we know this firsthand. We 100% know this is true. I've spoken to them and I know exactly what they got. And it's a good amount of money, guys. It's a good amount of money to help you through. And if you spend it the right way, it's going to be turned into a grant and you'll never owe that money back. If you're not taking part of that because you're frustrated, you're missing out big. So you got to get moving on to that. But so PPP, EIDL, I've said them till I'm blue in the face. You could do a whole show on them, but figure out what you need to do. If you have a specific question, send it to us on Facebook or message us that, and we'll do our best job to get out a specific answer to you if we can. And we'd love to help you guys, because I know that that's really what it comes down to right now, especially for our brothers and sisters in Colorado and Kentucky, and that's chiropractors. Hair people pretty much everywhere across the country can't do anything, and they're dying. And some of our best friends are some of the biggest names in the hair industry and have built a dynasty. And they're seeing it firsthand too, and they're working their butt off to make sure they help their people out. So I get it. I feel for you guys, and we want to help you any way we possibly can. So reach out to us if we can do something personally for assistance. I think that's probably enough time. Huh? I mean, we got
crazy. All of a sudden we're like
plenty of questions left, but no time to get to them. So we'll try to have one of these episodes maybe once a month or so where we get to it. Hopefully by then next month, we're not handling the same PPP, COVID, EIDL questions, but we can only pray. But, you know,
we'll be talking about planning the parties is what we'll be talking about. Yeah,
the grand reopening. So, Chelsea, what's your take home point from this call?
Well, something that we've talked about a lot in our company is just focusing on the positive and finding the silver linings. And it's just something that we all need to do. Be careful what you're watching and who you're listening to, and don't just listen to everything you hear, I think, because not everybody is giving you all the facts or all the truth. So just, you know, focus on the positive. We're going to all get through it real soon. It's yep. Just sticking with it.
Yep. Dr. B.
I want to remember to be thankful for what we don't have right now. And to explain that of not being able to go to a restaurant, not being able to jump down to the beach with the kids and hit some waves. Mm-hmm. Or Chelsea, you're in Denver. I know, going up to the mountains, the snow is incredible right now. You can't go. Mm-hmm. So just remembering, I think, what we're missing out on, and then being ultra thankful when that does come back. of just like how cool it is to have the freedom to go get a freaking hot dog on the beach, or a glass of wine at my favorite restaurant. And I won't take that for granted at all. Not that necessarily did before, but I think even more so now of when this flips back on, the excitement that I'll get to feel, like my kids the other day are seeing their classmates for the first time, of how cool that's going to be just to go and experience life again.
Mm-hmm. My take, I have many, but I'll narrow this down. But I think that staying positive is a big one for me. And I think people need to realize that it's more powerful than you even imagine. And, you know, it's going to work out. And if you believe that, then you just go at every day a little bit better. It makes the conversations you have, even the tough ones, a little better. But mainly, adversity really reveals character. And so if you can't make a payment, it doesn't mean you have bad character. But if you don't even address that, that means that you have some bad character. So you need to realize a lot of things about yourself. If you're having the easy conversations, the hard conversations, are you working harder than you did before on building your dream and doing the things you need to do? This is a timeout, a reset. There's going to be things reshuffled here, and they already are happening in the weeks ahead. People are closing. People will be opening. There's going to be clients that are out there waiting for a new home. So you need to make sure you're doing what you can to come out of this shuffling on top and come out of it feeling super good about yourself and how you handled everything, because these same people you're going to be dealing with in 6 months when everything's back to normal. And so right now, do what you can to stay positive and realize that how you handle things says a lot about your character, and it says a lot about you as an entrepreneur. So do the right thing right now, and that's going to go a long, long way this year, next year, and the rest of your career and business. So hang in there, guys. We're here for you. We'll continue to give you any updates that we have. We'll see you next week unless something major happens before time, and then we'll be sure to log on for a special episode. So share it with friends that you think would benefit from it. We appreciate you guys. Peace.
Bye.